إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 9th session, reading from Minhaj Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah fil Aqeedah wal-Amal, the methodology of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah concerning creed and actions, by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Tonight our topic is the continuation and inshaAllah bi-idhnillahi ta'ala the completion of the second point that the Shaykh mentions, that is the tariqah Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah fi ibadatillah. Tariqah Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah fi ibadatillah. Tonight inshallah is continuation and inshallah completion of that topic which began yani few sessions ago. Before we do that though, I want to quickly look at some of the issues that we discussed last week from the question and study guide for lecture number 8. The first question being, what is the intended meaning of the expression al-wasail? Yani it's singular wasila. What is the intended meaning of this expression al-wasail as it relates to worship? What is the intended meaning? Now, murshid.
It means to reach the goal.
Okay, means, ways or means to reach a goal. Now, anybody going to add to that anything? Ways or means? Yani to reach
the
okay, it should be in reference to worship, it should be
things from the worship, from the Sharia.
No, things from the Sharia. Yani to reach those things that have been legislated in terms of worship or acts of obedience or the commands of Allah in order to fulfill them. Naam, it should be yani the wasail means the ways or the means that help or aid a person in order to yani execute the commands of Allah, or to yani complete or to fulfill an act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. This is what we mean by wasail, the ways or the means that help or aid a person in order to reach yani the goal of yani fulfilling yani some act of worship that Allah has legislated, or complying with a command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with. Naam. The second question, what is the intended meaning of the expression al-ghayat? Its singular being ghaya, as it relates to worship also. What do we mean by the expression al-ghayat? Naam, Abdul Haq.
First word, the objectives or goals.
The objectives or the goals, Naam.
What has been established in the Sharia?
Which are established in the Sharia. Mm. Anybody want to add to it anything? Mm. Yani, the objectives or the goals that are established in the Sharia. We mean by al-ghayat those objectives or those goals that are established in Sharia, meaning the actual acts of worship or the acts of obedience to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us. Yani that's what we mean by the ghayat. Yani the actual acts of worship that Allah has legislated for us, or the commands that He has commanded us with in order to yani realize those things. Those things, the ghayat, are those things which are done in order to get near to Allah, in order to earn the pleasure of Allah, in order to earn the reward of Allah. Those are the ghayat, the objectives, the goals, the thing that is intended in order to get near to Allah. The wasail are the means that may help you, or aid you, or assist you, or facilitate you completing yani or reaching those goals or objectives. I hope that it's clear. This is very important because the Shaykh has spent a lot of time yani explaining this concept so that we can easily, clearly see the falsehood of the claim of the people of innovation when they try to mix up the yani means with the goals. Now, the third question, give an example of the use of modern wasail. Modern means to achieve a legal, legislated, ghaya, objective. Yani, naam, Muhammad. Naam?
A microphone.
A microphone that might, it could be a means to do what? To reach which goal? Okay, for the adhan, for example. Yani, a microphone may be used as a modern means, an instrument that's used to make the adhan reach the people who need to hear the adhan in order to stand for salat. Huh? Or the microphone even to lead the prayer so that the people can hear the imam leading the prayer. Naam? Naam. Okay, so there are many yani modern means, instruments, tools, methods that yani the people later on came with to help, to assist, to facilitate establishing the objective or the goal that Allah has legislated for us to do, to worship Him or to comply with His commands.
Tawheed al-Qur'an fi
mushaf wahid. Yani the collecting of the Qur'an all together in one book. Yani in a mushaf. Yani in order to what? To make it easier for people to have access to the Qur'an, to learn the Qur'an, to read the Qur'an. Instead of it being scattered in pages, it was collected all together so that a person can have one book or everything that has been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Qur'an. It will be in one place all together. This is and to help to facilitate what? The people to worship Allah by reading Qur'an, by reflecting on Qur'an, by reciting Qur'an, by memorizing Qur'an. This helps and facilitates the matter. Naam. And also the Shaykh, he gave the example of what? Yani, he gave the example, huh?
Tajweed rules.
Rules of Tajweed, rules of Arabic language. But the example that the Shaykh gave, he said, we have the example in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to prepare, to make preparations. Yani that's a command from Allah. In order to fulfill that, yani they used to collect the things that help them, yani to make, yani to prepare for military, yani, what do you call it? Expeditions. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a word. Alright? So they used to get horses, and they used to get weapons, swords, and spears, and things like that. But the preparation today for a military expedition, for warfare, is not going to be horses and spears, and knives, swords. Not just that, what it's going to be. Today it's going to be what?
Tanks,
and planes, and missiles, and things like this. Bombs and stuff, right?
Nuclear.
So this is modern instruments, tools, means that help us to fulfill the goal of what? Preparation that Allah commanded us with. Allah commanded us to prepare. The means to prepare in the time of the Prophet ﷺ was very different than the means of preparation today. But we don't want to confuse what? The means to achieve the goal of preparation. We don't want to confuse the means with the actual goal itself. Okay, the goal should not be changed, should not be altered or modified. But the means to achieve it, yeah, and it's possible that you might use some new or modern means that help or facilitate the achievement of the goal. Yani, the means are what? The means are those things that help us to reach. Yani, we use them to reach the goal. Yani, in this case, preparation, or in other case, whatever it might be. Okay, question number four. Memorize the agreed upon qaida, principle, which determines the hukum or ruling of the wasail, the means. Naam, Mustafa.
أحكام الوسيلة كأحكام المقاصد.
نعم.
وما لا يتم الواجب إلا به وهو واجب.
ما شاء الله. Okay, the Shaykh, he gave which part of this qaida?
The first one.
What? Give it maybe the first part.
أحكام الوسيلة.
للوسائل.
للوسائل.
أحكام المقاصد.
للوسائل أحكام المقاصد. What is the meaning of للوسائل أحكام المقاصد? نعم.
The means
will have the same ruling. Yani lil wasail, the means for them are what? Ahkam al maqasid, the same hukum, the same ruling as the maqsad, the thing that is intended. Okay, so here the Shaykh is saying what? That yani what we are looking at is the maqsad, the goal of the objective. These are only means that yani help us to facilitate that. Now, so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with something, an act of worship, or commanded us to do something in obedience to Him, then the means to fulfill that objective, that goal, yani will have the same ruling as the objective itself, the maqsad or the maqasid, plural. After this, question number 5, how can we answer those who support innovations in acts of worship? Innovations in acts of worship, not in the wasail, the means, but in the actual acts of worship, by pointing to the use of modern means, which are used to implement lawfully legislated matters in Islam, such as the collection of Quran, building of schools, rules of tajweed. Yani, how can we answer those who want to support their innovated acts of worship by pointing to the modern means that may be used, yani, to achieve legislated goals? How can we answer them now?
You can say that the collection of the Quran in one Mus'haf is just a means to...
The collection of the Quran in one Mus'haf is just a means
to reach
Goal, which is reading Quran. It's just a means. Okay, the collection of the Quran, you can't use it as a proof for you establishing some new act of worship or innovative way of worshiping Allah, when in fact the collection of the Quran is only the means that are being used for the goal which Allah has legislated, which is confirmed in the Quran or in the Sunnah. So our argument to them is simply that we distinguish, yani yufarrak baina al-wasail wal-maqasid, yani we, or the, yeah, no, the ghayat, as the Shaykh, the expression that he used, same meaning, yani the ghayat means maqasid, yani the goal that you're trying to reach. So to distinguish between the means and the actual goal itself, we have to distinguish between them and don't allow them to mix them up. No doubt, the Shaykh said, that the thing that is intended, the actual goal, the act of worship, the act of obedience, that thing, it is already completed. Its legislation has been completed within the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which came to him in the Quran and in the Sunnah. The goals, there are no new goals, but the means might be renewed. The means, you can say there are new means, but there is no bid'ah in the yani ghaya, the actual act of worship or obedience. No changing it. Question number 6, memorize the dalil, the evidence that nothing new can be added to the deen of Allah from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 3rd Ayat. Now, the Shaykh used this ayat as a proof of what? He used it as a proof that, and against the people who want to innovate something new. So he said that we recite in the Book of Allah this ayat from Surah Al-Ma'idah, Naam Ya Musa. Somebody else give me the meaning of this ayah. Al-yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum. What is the meaning of in English? Naam. Somebody who didn't answer. Who didn't give us the answer. What is the meaning of this ayah? Al-yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum. Today we have perfected, completed for you your deen. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. Anybody? Completed? My favor upon you. Naam. Wa wa? Wa raditu lakum al-islam adina. And Allah said that He is pleased with Islam to be your deen. How could you not be pleased with it? Allah is pleased with it. Allah is pleased with it means that He has chosen it. He has chosen it for us. How could we not choose it for ourselves? So, yani, we know from this then, from this ayat, that the Quran and the Sunnah are sufficient, completely sufficient, for the Muslim, the one who wants to worship Allah, in terms of the ahkam of the deen. The furu as well as the usul, the fundamentals and the branches. It's sufficient. The Quran and Sunnah is sufficient. There's no need for other than that. Okay, the last question. Yani from what we covered last week, how can we answer those who use religious enthusiasm, yani atifa diniya, and feeling good about something as a criterion to judge what is good and what is lawful in matters of deen? Yani they want to use as their criterion to judge that something is good or something is lawful in the deen, what? The yani atifa diniya or riqqa qalbiya. Yani they want to say, but our hearts yani are softened by this. And we feel so good about it. We have this wonderful feeling, emotion. So it must be good. It must be lawful. How do we argue against these people? Yeah, Abdul Haq.
Yeah, we can say that Allah has already mentioned in the Quran that shaitan will beautify to people the deed.
Allah already mentioned in the Quran that shaitan will beautify the people with their evil deeds, their sin and transgression and kufr and shirk. Allah will make it fair seeming to them. He will make it look good. He will make them feel good about it, even though it's contrary to what Allah has legislated.
And as an example of ayah,
Shakirin. Now, so the Shaykh, he used this ayah, and last week, you know, because we were running out of time, we went through it a little bit quickly, but let me just make a note here on this ayah, yani that the Shaykh is saying that we will say to them that Allah has already informed us of the saying of what Shaytan has said, that I will wait for them on your straight path, and I will come to them from in before them, and from behind them, and from their rights, and from their lefts. Meaning, he will come to them from different directions, from different angles, with different tricks. And Hafiz ibn Kathir said concerning this ayah, that the meaning of he will come from them from before them, yani that it means before them is what? The akhirah. And behind them is the dunya. And on their right is the deen. And on their left is, yani, sinful behavior. Yani, corruption and falsehood, desires. So the shaitan will come from them from before them and cause them to have doubt about the akhirah. And he will come from behind them to encourage them, to make them desirous of the dunya. And he will come to the right of them, putting shubuhat in matters of deen. Here, huh? Shubuhat in matters of deen. Bid'ah. Looks good, sounds good. It makes sense. All we're doing is worship. Yani, shaitan comes to them and makes them think that this is worship. That this is something pleasing to Allah. By shubuhat, doubtful matters, wasail, mixing up the wasail and the ghayat, and other tricks that they use, taking a hadith man sanna fil Islam, and then giving it a different meaning than what we know it means from the actual circumstance in which the Prophet said it, and so on. Okay? So he said shaitan will come to them like this, from before them and from behind them, from the right and from the left, and he will, yani, play with their minds, and he will affect their hearts, and he will trick them and he will deceive them. Read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir concerning this ayah, because he brought a beautiful explanation of it. But yani, and the Prophet ﷺ said,
Adam,
the shaitan goes through the human being like their blood goes through their body. Meaning shaitan is going inside the human being, circulating through his body, affecting him, his thinking, his feelings, his heart. So that what? His heart became softened by innovation, by bid'ah, by corruption, by falsehood. But his heart was made to feel good because shaitan is going through you, affecting your heart and your mind. This is what we covered last week. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to complete this subject that the Shaykh has brought. Very, very important topic that he spent a lot of time with, and we also spent a lot of time with it. I just want to remind us that in the beginning of this subject, yani the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in reference to worship, the Shaykh mentioned three elements. He said that what? That the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah worship Allah.
Billahi.
First, lillahi, with ikhlas, sincerity. And secondly, billahi isti'ana, yani seeking help from Allah. And then he said, fillahi, meaning in accordance with the sharia of Allah. And all of what came mostly and what the Shaykh talked about is the third one. Yani the innovation is what? Fillahi. Yani and what Allah has legislated, they have innovated something new. To take the people off the path of Allah, to divert them from the path of Allah. Naam. And so the Shaykh, he talked about a number of different things that we talked about previously, how the people have, yani, been caused to be misled. And also, I want to mention, last week, I didn't give the references, so I did send some notes out, right, but I didn't give the references to the ayats that we mentioned to support what the Shaykh was saying about how shaitan makes evil, sin, kufr, shirk, fear seeming, to seem good, to look good, to feel good about it. I mentioned a few ayats from the Quran. The first ayat, I'm just giving you the reference, Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, 43rd ayat. The second ayat was, that was the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That shaitan made, yani, what they were doing, he made it beautified, adorned, attractive to them, even though it was disobedience to Allah, and kufr and shirk. And the second ayah was Surah Al-Anfal, 8th surah, 48th ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ زَيْنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَقَالَ لَغَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Yani, Shaitan said to them, there will be no people that will overcome you today. He tricked them. Yani, he sent them in the battle saying, nobody can overcome you today. You're going to overcome. You're going to be the winners today. And all of that, yani, was from Shaitan, his way of what? Making their deeds, what they were involved in, what they were doing, make it seem good to them, that they were okay. And the last ayat that we mentioned was from Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 38th ayat, where Allah mentions the destruction of Ad and Thamud, and how the people who came after them saw their destruction and what? The destruction of their houses, everything leveled to the ground. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَزَيْنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ عَمَالُهُمْ. Yani, Shaytan had made the Ad and Thamud think that what they were doing was good, but look at the end result of it, destruction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنَ السَّبِيلِ, يعني سبيل الحق, وَكَانُوا مُسْتَبْصِرِينَ. يعني, so Allah, so Shaytan, يعني Allah says the Shaytan, what? Made their deeds seem good to them, and then he, by that, turned them away from السَّبِيلِ, يعني سبيل الحق, the true way, while they were people who had basira, they were people who could see, who could understand, who could comprehend, who had intellect. But yet Shaytan, what? He tricked them, he deceived them, he made their actions seem good to them. And this was, these were ayahs that support what the Shaykh was saying in the first ayah. After this, the Shaykh mentions four ayahs. He mentions four ayahs, and then we close this topic. We're going to look at those ayahs a little bit today, and then finish. This is where the Shaykh, okay, by the way, we're going to be reading today in the Arabic from page 15. In the Arabic from page 15, if you have numbered your pages, right? Because there are no numbers on the pages. Page 15, last line. The last line of that page, and then we're going to read to the end of this topic, the second point on top of page 17. As far as in English, we know that the translation was discontinued on this topic from where we left off somewhere, I don't know, page 15 or something like that. Or page 24, I'm sorry, after page 24. We didn't have any more translation, so we're not going to look at that. But inshallah, we'll return to the translation on point number 3 next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So the Shaykh says here, at the bottom of this page, last line, he says, بَلْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. Yani, before the hadith that he mentioned about Shaytan going through the human being like their blood, the Shaykh says, even before that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, إِنَّهُ, this is in Surah Al-Nahl, 99 and 100. Shaykh says in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Innahu laysa lahu sultanun. Yani Shaytan, laysa lahu sultanun. He has no sultan, no authority. Ala alladhina amanu wa ala rabbihim yatawakkalun. He has no authority, he has no power over those who believe and who put their trust in Allah. Yani the people of Iman and Tawakkul, the people who believe in Allah and put their trust in Allah, Shaytan has no power with them. Has no power with them. إنما سلطانه على الذين يتولونه. But his authority is over those who take him as a wali, who obey him and who follow him. Huh? إنما سلطانه على الذين يتولونه والذين هم به مشركون. And those who are, making associates or partners or equals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaytan has authority over them. The people who obey him, who follow him, who take him as their wali, and those who make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, I just want to mention another ayat that's in line with this ayat. And in some of the books of tafsir, they refer these two ayats together. And it's a clear ayat that supports what the Shaykh is using this ayat to prove. And that is Surah Al-An'am, 6th surah, 121st ayat. 6th surah, this is not in the book, 121st ayat. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this surah, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. And don't eat from that which Allah's name has not been mentioned upon. This is a far'i, issue, secondary jurisprudence issue. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states, do not eat from that over which Allah's name has not been mentioned. That's not our topic tonight. But it is something for us to think about. Don't eat from that over which Allah's name has not been mentioned. Dhabiha, mentioned, slaughtered in the name of Allah. وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ. Indeed, to do so is disobedience, is sinful, is corruption. Whoever eats from that over which Allah's name has not been mentioned, this is fisq. وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ. And indeed, the shayateen, the devils, yani inspire their awliya, those who are with them, on their team. لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ. In order to argue and dispute with you. Shaitan is inspiring them with some inspirations to argue with you over what Allah has clearly stated. Don't eat from this. That's clear, sure, definite disobedience. Indeed, the shayateen, they will inspire their awliya to argue and dispute with you about it. To get you what? To engage in that which Allah has made unlawful. For you to think that it's lawful and to consume it in obedience to them instead of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah closed the ayah by saying, وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ. Listen to this. وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ. If you were to obey them in that, Allah declared something unlawful, and then they told you, that's okay. Allah declared something to be not from His deen, and they said, no, it's actually okay. This is a good bid'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ. If you were to obey them, إِنَّكُمْ. Definitely you are. يعني لمشركون. يعني إنكم is definiteness. And the lamb in لمشركون is also definiteness. I mean, Allah is saying definitely, certainly, surely, if you obey them, you become mushriks. That's very يعني serious, right? If you obey them in that, you became a mushrik. If you obey them in that, يعني making that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made prohibited, that you make it lawful, and then you eat it. Because you considered it to be lawful by their claim, then you would indeed be from the mushrikun. And that is because the shayateen and those who are with them, the awliya, have made lawful you to eat that which Allah made unlawful to eat. They said, no, it's lawful. Allah made it unlawful and they made it lawful. And you obeyed them in considering it lawful to eat. You obeyed them instead of obeying Allah, and by doing so, you worshipped them. And to worship others besides Allah is shirk. And in obedience to other than Allah, in disobedience to Allah is shirk. I hope this is clear. Because this is very serious. This is very serious. The Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, yani, even though he mentioned this ayah, but the ayah that he mentioned is the same meaning. Yani that shaitan has no authority over anyone except those who obey him and follow him. يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ. And those who do that, then they became mushriks. Then he has authority over them. So the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, فَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلشَّيْطَانِ سُلْطَانًا عَلَى مَنْ تَوَلَّاهُ وَأَشْرَكَ بِهِ. أي جَعَلَ لِلَّهِ شَرِيكًا بِهِ بِوَاسَطَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Okay, how the Shaykh explains this? إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ. Shaykh says that Allah has made for shaitan an authority over those who take him as their wali, who obey him. He gave shaitan authority over them, those who obey him, who follow him. And who أَشْرَكَ بِهِ, يعني أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ. And those who أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ. Shaykh said what? جَعَلَ لِلَّهِ شَرِيكًا. That they made a shariq, a partner, an equal with Allah, bihi, sharikan bihi, yani bi shaitan, bi wasatati a shaitan. Yani they worshipped something with, they made something associated with Allah by way of obeying shaitan. Yani by obeying shaitan, they worshipped something other than Allah. This explanation the Shaykh gave here is actually, yani requires some thought, because it's tremendous. Yani, this ayat is crystal clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying shaitan has no authority over the people who believe and put their trust in him, but shaitan does have authority over those who obey and follow him. And those who ashraka bihi, who make shirk with Allah. How? Making something as an equal with Allah, bi wasitati ash-shaytan. By following and obeying the shaitan. Then they made something as a partner for Allah. They became, in this way, مُشْرِكُونَ. فَوَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ. If you obey them, the shayateen, then you would definitely be mushriks. So Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, وَكُلُّ مَنْ جَعَلَ لَهُ. Yani, so whoever makes for him, yani for himself, جَعَلَ لَهُ مَتْبُوعًا فِي بِدْعَةٍ مِنْ دِينِ اللَّهِ. Whoever makes for himself a matbu', someone or something to be followed, yani you become a follower of that one. فِي بِدْعَةٍ مِنْ دِينِ اللَّهِ, in an innovation that has been invented in the deen of Allah. Whoever makes somebody a matbu', that I'm going to follow this one. Not me, no. That he's going to follow this one. In an innovation in the deen of Allah, فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ عَزْ وَجَلَّ. Then that one who did it, who accepted someone, I'll follow you. In the innovations that you invented in the deen of Allah, then you have made that, you have made shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you have made that person the matbu'an, when only Allah should be followed and obeyed. You have made that one to be obeyed along with Allah. So that's shirk. وَجَعَلَ هَذَا الْمَتْبُوعَ شَرِيكًا لِلَّهِ. Yani, what you have done, you have made this one who you said you will follow, you have made this one as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In what way? فِي الْحُكْمِ, in the ruling, that you gave them the authority to make rulings, to make judgments, to legislate, to decide what is halal and what is haram, what is wajib and what is yani not. You made that person as a partner with Allah فِي الْحُكْمِ. وَالْحُكْمُ وَحُكْمُ اللَّهِ الشَّرَعِي وَالْقَدْرِ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ أَبَدًا. Shaykh says what? The حُكْم of Allah, حُكْم شَرَعِي and حُكْم قَدْرِ, لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ أَبَدًا. Allah has no partner whatsoever in either of them. The حُكْم شَرَعِي or the حُكْم قَدْرِ. حُكْم شَرَعِي you mean what? In legislating laws in the Sharia. And حُكْم قَدْرِ يعني in Allah's right to be the one who decrees what will be in the creation. Yani hukum shar'i in the legislated matters, and hukum qadri in what Allah has decreed in the creation. Allah has no partner in any of that. No one decrees, has any ability to decree anything to take place in the creation except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, in the same way, no one has a right to legislate anything, to command or to prohibit or to make a law or to legislate anything in the deen of Allah, to make rulings concerning matters in the deen of Allah, that this is fard, wajib, this is mustahab, this is yani makruh, this is haram, this is mubah. No one has the right to do that except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the shaykh, he says, yani supporting this point, that the hukm belongs to Allah alone, and whoever accepts the hukm of someone other than Allah, in that which they innovated in the deen of Allah and said this is lawful to do, whoever accepts that, then you have made them a partner with Allah in that which belongs to Allah alone. Hukm. Al-Hukm al-Shar'i. The Shaykh says from Surah Yusuf, 12th Surah, 40th Ayat, in al-Hukmu illa lillahi amara alla ta'budu illa iyyahu. That indeed the Hukm, the right to rule, to judge, to legislate, to command, to prohibit, the Hukm, in al-Hukm, illa lillah, it doesn't belong to anyone except Allah. And He has commanded you, amara, and la ta'budu illa iyyah. And He has commanded you not to worship anyone or anything except Him. Just a quick note, yani before I read what the Shaykh said after that, in this particular ayah, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'd, he said, the hukm belongs to Allah alone. فهو الذي يأمر وينهى ويشرع الشرائع وَيَصُنُّ الْأَحْكَامِ. The hukm belongs to Allah alone. Therefore, He is the one who commands what you should do. He is the one who prohibits what you must not do. He is the one who يَشْرَعْ شَرَعِ, who legislates the laws. And He is the one يَصُنُّ الْأَحْكَامِ. He is the one who enacts the hukm, the ahkam, rulings concerning anything. And He is the one, yani in the rest of the ayat, أَمْرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَيَّ, He is the one who has commanded you to not worship anything except Him. ذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمِ, and that is the upright religion, yani the upright way that leads to every khayr. And whatever is besides it of other religions or ways, than those other ways are, definitely not straight. Rather they are crooked, and they only lead to every evil. And then Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'd, he finishes the rest of the ayat that the Shaykh didn't mention, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. However, Most of the people don't know. However, most of the people don't know this. Yani that you shouldn't worship anything except Allah alone. They don't know the reality of things. Otherwise, the difference between worshiping Allah alone, without any partner for Him, and between a shirk, associating something with Him, is the most clearest of things. It's crystal clear. It's the most clearest of things. Yet, most people don't know. Most people are mushriks. The Shaykh said, رَكَزْتُ عَلَى هَذَا الْأَمْرَ لِكَيْ يَعْلَمْ. He's coming to the end of what he wants to say concerning this second point, worship, yani how the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, their way in terms of worshiping Allah alone. He said, I have concentrated, focused on this affair, yani the third part of the worship of Allah alone. Yani worship of Allah fi اللَّهِ. He said, I have focused on this matter, لِكَيْ يَعْلَمَ أَهْلُ الْإِحْدَاثِ الْمُحْدِثُونَ أَنَّهُ لَا حُجَّةَ لَهُمْ فِي مَا أَحْدَثُوهُ. So that the people who have innovated in the deen, the muhdithun, the people who invented stuff in the deen of Allah, so that they would know. And you have concentrated on this so that they would know. And he's not talking to those people who have invented in the deen. But he's talking to the people who are upon the sunnah. So how will the other people know? How will the other people know, the people of innovation, how will they know that they have no proof? If he's concentrating on this, talking to students of knowledge, people upon the sunnah, how will other people know? They will deliver the message. Yani they will learn what the Shaykh has said, and then they will bring the proofs to the people to make them know. Yani the Shaykh, he's not talking to the Ahl Bidah. He wasn't giving a lecture to Ahl Bidah. He was giving a lecture to Ahl Sunnah. And he said, I've spent all this time on this so that those people of Bidah will know. How will they know? They're not listening to him. Because the people who are listening to him, they will convey the message. The point that I want to make here is that we need to learn the arguments that the Shaykh has brought here well, so that we can deliver it to the people, so that they will know that there's absolutely no proof for what they have innovated in the deen of Allah. There's no basis for it. They have nothing to stand upon. Then the Shaykh says, وَعَلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا. Here's a new topic, yani the conclusion of this topic. وَعَلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا تَرِيقَ إِلَى الْوُصُولِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَإِلَى دَارِ كَرَامَتِهِ إلا من طريق الذي وضعه هو سبحانه وتعالى على لسان رسول الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Shaykh, he closes this topic, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially the warnings and arguments against innovation in the worship of Allah. He said, no, may Allah have mercy upon you, that there is absolutely no tariq, لا طريق, لا ناه, لا ن, لا ناهية ونافية. نافية للجنس. Absolute negation. لا طريقة. There's absolute negation. There's no way of reaching to Allah or reaching His place of honor. يعني دار كرامته means what? What is this place of the Jannah? The Jannah. There's no way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to reach His paradise. إلا من طريق الذي وضعه هو. Except by the way, the road which He has laid out. Allah Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not anybody else. And He has laid it out upon the tongue of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no other way to reach Allah. There's no way to reach the paradise of Allah except by the way that He has laid out upon the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Shaykh says, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى. This is a very important ayat. This is the second of the, or the third of the four ayahs that the Shaykh mentioned in his conclusion here. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى. Meaning that for Allah is the مَثَلْ الْعَالَى. يعني الْوَصْفَ الْعَالَى. The highest description. Belongs to Allah. Belongs to Allah. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'di says, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى. وَهُوَ, what is the مَثَلُ الْعَالَى? هُوَ كُلُّ صِفَةِ كَمَالٍ. Every characteristic of perfection belongs to Allah. Every characteristic of perfection belongs to Allah. وَكُلُّ كَمَالٍ فِي الْوُجُودِ فَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ بِهِ. And every aspect of perfection in the existence, in the creation, Allah has more right to it than anything in the creation. So if there's any being, human or otherwise, that has a characteristic of perfection, of goodness, Allah has more right to it. Allah has more right to it. And the reason why the Shaykh is mentioned in this ayat, Wallahu A'lam, and the rest of the tafsir I'm going to skip for the sake of time, The reason why he's mentioning this ayah, because after this he's going to make a parable, an example of the kings of the world. And if what he says about this in this parable is applicable to them, then what? Allah has more right to that than them. That's the point the Shaykh is making. And whenever we make a parable related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an example of anything related to Allah, then we should say, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى. Why? Before we make this method, we want to say, but of course, it's no comparison between the example we make about anything in the creation of Allah. Because if there's any perfection in this thing that we're using in the example in the creation, Allah has more right to it. هُوَ حَقُّ بِهِ. So the Shaykh is saying here, he's warning us that there's no likeness of Allah. But anyway, I'm going to make an example, just for you to get the picture of what is happening in terms of what? There's no road to Allah except the road that He has placed Himself for you to follow to reach Him. Then the Shaykh says, what if there was a king? لَوْ أَنَّ مَلَكًا مِنَ الْمُلُوكِ. What if there's a king from amongst the kings, and he has opened the door to enter upon him through it? And then he said, مَنْ أَرَادَ يَصِلْ إِلَيَّ فَلْيَدْخُلْ مِنْ هَذَا الْبَابِ. Anybody who wants to come to me, then he must enter through this door. This is a king, right? People want to reach the kings, right? He opened the door. He said, anybody who wants to come to me, come through this door. فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِمَنْ ذَهَبَ إِلَىٰ أَبْوَابِ أُخْرَى هَلْ يَصِلْ إِلَيْهِ كَلَّا بِالطَّبْعِ. So what do you think about a person who tries to go through the other doors? Not the door the king said, come through if you want to reach me. They go through other doors. Will they reach him? No way. For sure. So what about then, al-mathal al-ala lillahi, right? So what about then, al-malik al-azim, the magnificent great king. Malik al-muluk, the king of all kings. Khaliq al-khalq, the creator of everything in existence. Ja'ala tariqan ilayhi khasan bima ja'a bihi rusuluhu. Wa ala ra'sihim khatimuhum Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he, the king of kings, the greatest king, the creator of everything in the creation, he has made a tariqah to reach him. Khasa, specially, special way to reach him. And it is with that which his messengers came with. And at the head of them is the seal of them, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way to reach him that he has made specially to reach him, yani it is with by the way that his messengers have come with, and at the head of them is the seal of the Prophet and messengers Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الذي بعد بعثه لا يمكن لأي بشر أن ينال سعادة إلا من طريقه sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh, he gives a tremendous honor that Allah has given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that at the head of them is the Khatim al-Anbiya, that is the one who after his missioning, after he has been sent, it is not possible for any human being to achieve a sa'ada except by way of him, that is the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no way for anyone to reach a sa'ada except by way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is sa'ada? Happiness, success, fallah. But what do we really mean here? What is the maqsood? Al-Jannah. Al-Sa'ada, the intent here is Al-Jannah. There is no way for anybody to reach Allah, to reach His, yani, dar al-qaramatihi, al-jannah, except by way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning that even all the prophets and messengers came with that which goes to Allah, but once he has a mission, there's no way, not that any messenger came with before, only the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then somebody came and said, but we have some new ways to worship Allah, this will bring you near to Allah, this will earn the pleasure of Allah. How is that possible? There's no way except the way that Allah has made. And that way is through His seal of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the closing point against bid'ah. I mean, that's the closing point against bid'ah. That there's no way to earn the pleasure of Allah, the reward of Allah, to get near to Allah, except through the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no other way. Anybody who comes with something different, they are in delusion. They have self-delusion. They have deluded themselves. Then the Shaykh, he closes here, yani with one more ayah. He says, before that ayah, he says, وَالْحَقِيقَ أَنَّ تَعْذِيمَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Because he's talking about the only way through the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the reality of the matter is that ta'zeem, exaltation, glorification of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and al-adab مع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, having manners and respect with the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and نَسْلُكَ مَا سَلَكَ. It is, if you really the Sufis and other deviants, they love the Prophet, they honor him and they make parties and all of whatever celebrations. The reality is the exaltation and glorification and respect of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we travel the path that he traveled. That we leave that which he left. And that we do not put ourselves ahead of him. نَتَقَدَّمْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ We don't put ourselves ahead of him. So that we say in the deen what he didn't say. نَقُولُ فِي الدِّينِهِ مَا لَمْ يَقُولُ نَقُولُ فِي الدِّينِهِ That which he came to show the people the way to, and then we came saying something he didn't say. أَوْ نُحْدِثَ فِي دِينِهِ مَا لَمْ يَشْرَعَ Or we invent something new in his deen that he didn't legislate. هَلْ مِنْ مَحَبَّةِ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَتَعْظِيمِهِ أَنْ نُحْدِثَ فِي دِينِهِ شَيْئًا يَقُولُ هُوَ عَنْهُ كُلُّ بِذَا دَلَالَ Yani, is it from love of the Messenger that they claim? Is it from love of the Messenger and glorification of the Messenger that we invent something new in his deen? Something that he said about it. Every innovation is dalala. So, when people innovate in the deen, does that show that they love the Messenger?
No.
Kalla. And he said about it, that thing that they're inventing. He said about it, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ Whoever does indeed, لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرِنَا That is not in accordance with our affair, yani the deen of Islam. فَهُوَ رَدٌّ Then it is مَرْدُود, rejected. This is what he said about it. Does this show love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam when you invent in the deen that which he didn't bring to us? Is this from love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you legislate in his deen? That which he didn't legislate, that was not legislated. Is this from love of Allah azza wa jalla that we legislate in the deen of Allah that which he didn't legislate? And then the Shaykh closes this topic with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran. Third surah, 31st ayah. With the command of Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni. Qul, he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni. Allah ordered the Prophet to tell those people who are on some other path, other than the path that Allah has laid out through his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them, if you really love Allah, then follow me, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ And in that case, if you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah will love you, and Allah will forgive you your sins, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. In the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di concerning this particular ayat, he has a beautiful tafsir. I'm going to try to read through it quickly. Kulun kuntum tuhibbun Allah. Hey, if you have claimed this high level, al-martaba al-aliyah, of having love of Allah, that's a high level. If you claim this level, al-martaba allati laysa fawqaha rutba, there's no level above this, the love of Allah. Fala yakfi fiha mujarrad al-da'wa. So it's not sufficient just making a claim. بَلْ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ صِدْقْ فِيهَا But rather it is a necessity that you have to be truthful about what you are claiming. Otherwise there's no real benefit in just claiming it. And the sign of صدق, علامة صدق, اتباع رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The sign that you are truthful in your claim is following his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم في جميع أهواله وأقواله وأفعاله in all of his conditions or circumstances, in all of his sayings and in all of his actions, following the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. في أصول الدين وفرعه in the fundamentals of the deen, the aqidah, and in the branches of the deen, the laws that he's legislated in acts of worship. في الظاهر والباطن outwardly and inwardly, the outward actions and what's happening in the heart. You have to, all of that, you have to follow the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that. So whoever follows the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is an indication of the truthfulness of his claim to having love of Allah the Most High. And then Allah will love him, and Allah will forgive him his sins, and Allah will have mercy upon him, and Allah will set straight all of his movements and his non-movements. Yani everything that he is engaged in. Whoever follows the messenger, this is an indication of his truthfulness and his claim of loving Allah. And whoever didn't follow the messenger, فَلَيْسَ مُحِبًّا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى Then this person is not really a lover of Allah. And that is because his love of Allah would necessitate for him following the Messenger of Allah. If he really loves Allah, it necessitates تُوجِبُ لَهُ اتِّبَاعَ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So as long as that person, we didn't find that, yani, we didn't find that the person is following the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then this indicates the absence of love of Allah. And that he is a liar in what he claims. And in addition to that, even if we assume, for the sake of argument, that there is some love of Allah present, it is غير نافية بدون شرطها. It is of no benefit without the condition for love of Allah, that is following the Messenger. Even if we say for the sake of argument there is some love of Allah, but if the person does not follow the Messenger, guess what? If it were there, it is of no benefit. And then Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di closes the tafsir of this ayah saying, وَبِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ يُوزَنْ جَمِيلِ الْخَلْقِ. The whole of the creation, everything in the creation is weighed, is judged by this ayat. Yani, in accordance with their portion, their share of following the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in accordance with that, will be their iman and their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more that they follow the Messenger, it shows that they have iman and love of Allah. وَمَا نَقَصَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ نَقَصَ. And to the extent that their following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is yani defective, then this shows defect in the iman and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then yani the Shaykh, this is the end of yani the tafsir of the last ayah that the Shaykh mentions. But the Shaykh mentioned the hadith kullu bidha dalala, and he also mentioned the hadith man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahu raddun. Whoever does a deed that is not in accordance with this affair of ours, then it is rejected. In the footnote to this book, it says this hadith man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahu raddun. Very important hadith reported by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, and he said هذا hadith jaleel. This is a tremendous yani jaleel means what, like lofty yani majestic, a beautiful hadith, عظيم القدر, great in its yani worth or value, بالغ الأهمية yani of the utmost importance. And it is from the comprehensive speech of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and from the great qawaid of this deen. And it is a hadith that is sarih, crystal clear in its refutation, rejection of bid'ah and newly invented matters. And if you like, you should look at the sharh of Sahih Muslim by Imam An-Nawwi. And I went back and looked, I took his advice, I looked at the sharh of Imam Nawwi of this hadith. And Imam Nawwi, subhanAllah, he came with the bab Naqs al-Ahkam al-Batila wa Rad al-Muhtathat al-Umur. Yani this title of the chapter, Imam Nawwi, he wrote this title because Imam Muslim didn't write titles for his Sahih. In Bukhari, he wrote his own subtitles for the hadith, but Muslim didn't. So the scholars who explain Sahih Muslim, they put titles. So Imam Nawwi put this title here. Yani the defect of the false rulings and the rejection of newly invented affairs. That's the title that Imam Nawawi put here. The rejection of newly invented affairs. The saying of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever invents something new in this matter of ours that is not from it, then it is rejected. And then Imam Nawawi says, and in the second narration, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Yani two hadith here, the one that the Shaykh mentioned, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا, but the Imam Nawawi mentions before that, whoever invents something new in this affair of ours that is not from it, it will be rejected. And then he said, and the other narration is, whoever does something in this affair of ours that is not from it, it will be rejected. Imam Nawawi says, I'm not going to read the whole of what he said, but just a couple of points that he made here. First he said, أهل العربية, the people of Arabic language said, فَهُوَ رَدٌ الرَّدْ هُنَا بِمَانَ الْمَرْدُودِ. فَهُوَ رَدٌ means it is rejected. Yani meaning that it is batil. غَيْرَ مُعْتَدٍ بِهِ. Yani it's false, it has no consideration. وهذا الحديث Imam Nawawi said قاعدة عظيمة من قواعد الإسلام. This hadith من أحدث في أمرنا هذا من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا. He said this hadith is a قاعدة عظيمة, a great tremendous principle from the principles of Islam. هو من جوامع كلمه, and it is from the comprehensive speech of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإنه صريح, because it is crystal clear in the rejection of bid'ah and muhtathat or mukhtariyat, yani of innovative matters and things that have just been invented. And then Imam Nawawi says, and in the other narration there's ziyad, something extra. يعني من عامل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا. He said there's ziyada, and that is because some people will be stubborn, and they will, يعني if they are engaged in bid'ah, يعني they will say من أحدث, whoever invented the bid'ah, I didn't invent it. يعني somebody else invented it. I'm just following it. Imam Nawawi said, فإذا احتج عليه بالرواية الأولى. Then, يعني if we argued against him with the first argument, he would say, I didn't invent that thing. Then we will argue with him with the second narration, which is crystal clear in its rejection of every type of innovative matter, no matter if you're the one who invented it or somebody before you invented it. I don't know if you know the difference between the two narrations. من أحدث في أمرنا, whoever invented it. من عمل, whoever did it, whether you invented it or not. So Imam Nawawi brings that point, and then he makes a couple of other points, and then I'm close with what he says here. وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ مِمَّا يَنْبَغِي حِفْظُهُ واستعماله في إبطال المنكرات وإشاعة الاستدلال به. Imam Nawawi said, رحمه الله, and this hadith is from that which ينبغي حفظه. It is incumbent upon us to memorize it and to use it in the refutation and showing the falsehood of munkarat, of evils. وإشاعة الاستدلال به, and spreading it as a means of a proof against falsehood and innovation. ينبغي, that we use it. And I'm going to close with what the Sheikh says. This is really closing now. We're almost at the hour, right? 56 minutes. We have 3.5 minutes remaining. The Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, another refutation of bid'ah, it's mentioned in the footnote, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and this is, yani, what he mentioned, Majmu' Fatawa. And in the Majmu' Fatawa, volume 5, page 248, it's mentioned that Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen said, وَإِنَّكَ لتعجب من قوم يعرفون قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إياك ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يعلمون أن قوله كل بدعة كلية عامة شاملة مصورة بأقوى أدوات الشمول والعموم كل يعني you should be amazed at a people who know the saying of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Beware of newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter is an innovation. And every innovation is misguidance. And every misguidance leads to the hellfire. You should be amazed at the people who know that the Prophet ﷺ said this. They don't know he said this. They never heard this hadith. And they know that his saying, kullu bid'ah, is yani kulliya ama shamila, all inclusive, general, complete, absolute, kullu bid'ah. And it's surrounded by the strongest instrument of all-inclusiveness or generality. The word in Arabic, kullu. He said, وَأَنَّ الَّذِي نَتَقَ بِهَذِهِ الْكُلِّيَّةِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ يَعْلَمُ مَدْلُولَ هَذَا اللَّفْظِ. And they know that the one who said this word, this all-inclusive word, every bidah, they know that he knows what this expression points to. He knows what it means. وَهُوَ أَفْصَحُ الْخَلْقِ. And he is the أَفْصَح, yani the most pure in speech in Arabic language of all of the human beings. There's no lack of clarity in what he's saying. وَأَنْصَحُ الْخَلْقِ لِلْخَلْقِ. And he is the most sincere in advising the people of all human beings. He's the most sincere of all advising the people. وَلَا تَلَفَّظُ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ يَقْصُدْ مَعْنَاهُ. And he never said anything except he intends what it means. Because what? He knows what he's saying. He understands the language. And he's sincere to the people. He doesn't just say stuff to trick or deceive people. So if this, all of these conditions are met in a speech, كَمَالَ النُّسْ, yani being completely sincere, وَالْإِرَادَ, and speaking that which you intend to say, وَكَمَالَ الْبَيَانِ وَفَصَحَ, yani perfect clarity in pure Arabic language. If all of these aspects are included in a person's speech, دَلَّ ذَلَكَ عَلَىٰ الْكَلَامِ يُرَادُ بِهِ مَدَلَّ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَعْنَىٰ. This indicates, points clearly, that this speech, what is intended by it, is what its meaning points to. كُلُّ بِدَىٰ, with no exceptions. And after all of that, ثُمَّ يَزْعَمُونَ أَنَّ الْبِدَىٰ تَنْقَسِمْ إِلَىٰ ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْسَامَ أَوْ خَمْسَةِ أَقْسَامَ. After all of that, then they still want to claim bid'ah is divided into three divisions, and bid'ah is divided into five divisions. ولا يصح هذا البتة. And this, there's no, يعني it's completely, it's not correct. يعني at all, أبداً. Even though some scholars claimed it in some of their books. They said, yeah, there's bid'ah hasana. They said, yeah, bid'ah is divided into different divisions. And the Shaykh is saying, after that, after all of that, and then they want to claim this, and then the Shaykh, he responds to the scholars who are making these kind of statements, not just the ordinary ignorant people. He said, that which is claimed by the ulama, وَمَا إِدَّعَاهُ الْعُلَمَاء مِنْ أَنَّ هُنَاكَ بِدْعَةً حَسَنَةً فَلَا يَخْلُو مِنْ حَالَيْنِ. And this is the last of what we're going to close with today. Whoever from amongst the scholars claims that there is such a thing as an act that is a good bid'ah, bid'ah hasana, a scholar who claims that, then it doesn't go outside of two things, two conditions, two possibilities. The first of them, أن تكون بدعة لكن أن لا تكون بدعة لكن يظنه بدعة. يعني if a scholar says that this thing is a good bid'ah, then it's either that لا تكون بدعة, that it's not in reality a bid'ah, but he, that scholar, thinks that it's a bid'ah, but in reality it's not a bid'ah. Yani if it's really something good, then it's not a bid'ah. It has to be something in the deen, but he just didn't know it, and he thought that it wasn't established before, so he said this is a good bid'ah. The other possibility is, أن تكون بدعتون, that it is in fact a bid'ah, فَهِيَ سَيَّ, and in that case then it's evil, it's not good. Yani if it is a bid'ah, then it's not a good bid'ah. There's no saying it's a good bid'ah. If it is a bid'ah, then indeed it is evil, لكن هو لا يعلم عن سوءه. But perhaps that scholar, that he didn't know about its evil, the evil in it. He didn't know about the evil in it, and therefore he thought it was something good, a good bid'ah. So whoever, every claim that's made of there being a bid'ah hasana, then the answer, the response to it, is with this answer. Yani, anytime a scholar, or other than a scholar, but especially a scholar he's talking about here, they claim that there's a good bid'ah, then the answer to it is that it's either one of two things. That either it's not really a bid'ah, but the person who said that thinks it's a bid'ah. Or it is a bid'ah, in which case it's definitely evil. It's definitely evil. And this is what we're going to close with today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.